A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details.
Gymnastics is hard and you have to be tough and you're going to be in pain, so you might as well just suck it up and push through it. That's just a super old school mentality. It's unhealthy. If you do gymnastics, things are going to hurt. You're right. Things are going to hurt, but that doesn't mean everything should hurt, or it doesn't mean we're just expecting that, or it doesn't mean we should ignore it. Pain isn't really normal for gymnasts. It isn't. If you think, yeah, my back hurt, and they're like, well, isn't that just normal? And I'm like, no, it's not normal for anyone's back to hurt. I was the definition of a gymnast. My parents both coached when I was little. My mom's a judge, so it was the toddler in the leotard constantly in the gym. I started coaching some classes and birthday parties when I was 14. I had the opportunity to do a small taste of college gymnastics. I actually did not stay on the team very long. Some injury stuff that I don't know if it was managed the way I would want something managed these days, but I moved into coaching really quickly. Coached for 12 years. When I stopped coaching gymnastics, was competing in CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting. I'm 30. I start doing all this weightlifting and I get way stronger than I had ever been. I would go back into one of the gyms I had coached at previously. I could do every single bar skill still. In my 30s, not training, that was like my wake up moment of like, oh yeah, they should all be lifting weights. Really learn so much more about having to take care of my body. Now I run a teen girl weightlifting class to help teach them about that stuff. And I get a lot of gymnasts, especially in the summer. And it's so fun to watch them get excited about liking your strength in a different way.
I'm going to bring up the elephant in the room around strength training and gymnastics impacting flexibility. So yeah. If your muscles get stronger, do you lose flexibility?
Absolutely untrue. Anytime you're going to be an athlete, you're going to put your body through a lot. Injuries are a piece of it. And it's very rare to get through a high level or many years of sport with nothing ever hurting.
13 kids are doing the rehab program and all 13 made it through season without getting injured. And I was like, yes, Lord.
That was last season. I had 23 kids that were coming for preventative services. So many things I see over and over in these gymnasts that I wish we could just make better before this.
How do we prevent it? How do we work through it? How do we bounce back from it?
How do we prevent it? Prevent by figuring out.
Hi guys, on today's podcast, I'm interviewing gymnastics physical therapist, Dr. Jenny Borda, on exactly what young athletes should be doing to prevent injuries and set their body up to make it as far as they want to go in their sport. This includes tips for parents, athletes, and coaches to keep our gymnasts physically and mentally healthy. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Perform Happy podcast. I have a special guest with me today, Dr. Jenny Borda. She's a former gymnast, coach, and a current physical therapist specializing in gymnastics, wellness, and performance. Jenny, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Yeah. So, okay. I always like to start at the beginning. You were a gymnast like me.
I was actually like, I was the definition of a gym rat. My parents both coached when I was little. So it was like the toddler in the leotard constantly in the gym.
Cute. All those little bellies. And you have a little one who runs around in a leotard too now, don't you?
I do. I have a little one. She'll be 3 on Wednesday.
Oh my gosh.
So I now get to add in that little parental component, not like a older competitive athlete, but I have, you know, a little bit of different insight because you don't really know how parents feel until you are one.
Yes. And I don't know about you, but my 3-year-old was a spicy meatball and made me realize how hard everything actually is on that end.
Oh, she is a spicy meatball is a great, you know, I tell people, we'll probably get into this more, but a big part of what I do is I try to help girls learn to use their voice and advocate for themselves. And so having this almost 3-year-old that has a lot of opinions. I try to remember that I'm thankful that she can do that already. And you can see how that can get dulled, right? Yes. You know, it would be so easy to be like, no, I told you to do this. But if I say, do you want, then you say, no, I can't get mad about that. That's my fault for asking the question.
Yeah, or if you don't want to share the thing, then why should I make you? It's yeah,
Yes.
all these this interesting perspective of going, okay, this little girl does not really care what other people want right now. How much do we help them to be respectful and kind, but then also not lose that, actually, this is mine, and I will let you know when I'm finished with it.
Yeah,
Like
it's hard.
that's
It's something I think about every day.
Yep. And I am pretty sure that that goes on for the rest of our lives as parents. You know,
Yep,
those of
great.
you who have adult children, you can confirm. I'm pretty sure that that doesn't end. But okay, so you were a gymnast. Now, it sounds like you were my kind of girl who also struggled with the backward skills in gymnastics.
Very much. Yes. Yes.
Okay. How did you navigate that? Because you went all the way up to high level gymnastics and even into
Yeah,
college.
I was pretty high level. I walked on as a college athlete. I actually did not stay on the team very long. I think some injury stuff that I don't know if it was managed the way I would want something managed these days. It's just some culture stuff. Some of it was just my own figuring out how to be this like mini adult and what I wanted from life. So I did not do college gymnastics long. I got, enough to get a little bit of the culture and have a little team atmosphere. But I moved into coaching really quickly. But the back tumbling, I thought about calling my mom on the way here and asking her some more questions about it because I was pretty young. I think I was 8. And, because I was in a gym all the time, I'd play with double backs and double flyaways off bars and back handsprings on beam as like a 7-year-old. And one day I was like a level 6 because I was competing normal levels. This is a few years ago. So, that what we didn't have the opportunity then to not do a back walkover on beam. And I literally just wouldn't go one day. And it was everything backwards. There were no back walkovers, no back handsprings, no tumbling on floor. And it was like extremely devastating. Enough that sometimes I'm like, I don't think I remember like some of those years very well.
But you were able to go beyond that. So what was the
I was.
solution? Or
I did
how did
not
you
do
get through it?
gymnastics for multiple years at all. I took a step away. I went and did ballet, did some other stuff. Obviously, I was lucky in the fact that I could go play in a gym with my parents. I by no means, I did not have parents that were like, you have to do this. It wasn't like that at all. I think by the time I was in like 7th grade, my dad stopped coaching. So he wasn't coaching gymnastics anymore. But my mom still did. My mom still judges and stuff. So she's still very involved. But they weren't, I don't think they put pressure on me. But I really just didn't compete. I didn't practice with a team. I could go in and play and do stuff. And it really wasn't till high school that I was like, okay, I think I can try to navigate this. So, I tried to compete through fear for a couple of years, not very successfully. Didn't do gymnastics at all, came back. And I would still say, even at that time, people weren't great at coming up with completely different options. So nowadays, you see so many kids be successful with just removing the back handspring, like learning to flip out of a round off. People still weren't really doing that then. So, a lot of it was just a lot of mental work. I think I was really, really big on like keywords, what I was saying when I did it, and what I needed to see. So it was like, what do I see? What word do I say? And then I always thought of that as like a, there's like a roadblock in my brain and I need to take a detour. So I think I was just better able, I was never able to back tumble on beam though. Like, I also like these days would have been so great for me. You can go and you can compete at level 10 and go to nationals on one or two events. That would have been prime for me because really I was good at bars. I enjoyed it the most. I was a good vaulter. Floor and beam, I did not excel. Just the fear aspect I was able to work through, but I would not say I was ever overly successful.
And that takes me right back to that back walkover that you do it or you don't. You if you can't get through it, you can't move to the next level. You can't do a back handspring on the beam. Like, what have you got?
What do you do?
It
They
was
let me just
very
compete beam
inflexible.
through high school. I just competed beam with no series. Like, we don't care what your beam score is. And then it just took pressure off of it. That's probably part of why I could tumble on floor was just, I don't have to go do this. Like, and I was allowed to practice and learn release moves on bars, even though I was not like stellar on every event. So it wasn't like, oh, you can't do this series on beam. You're not allowed to be a 9 or you're not allowed to be a 10.
I mean, I think it's so important to have the willingness as a coach to meet kids where they're at. That, you know, this is what you're strong at. Let's build this. This is where we need a little extra love. Let's love it. This is where we need to get creative. Let's be creative. I mean, I think when you put kids first and put the happiness and the enjoyment of the kid in the driver's seat versus the it has to look a certain way, you know, pretty girls in little boxes or whatever, that it like why are we here as coaches, you know, to help these kids feel successful? And so you were able to feel successful because they didn't give up on you. Sounds like.
I felt cared about. I mean, I think, you know, that's a theme in general. I'm in this unique place where I get to see girls from all different gyms. I do some virtual sessions, kids not just from my local area. I live in Columbus, Ohio. But I'm in this unique place, kind of like you are. You hear stories from all over, and it allows you to see the good. It allows you to see the places we can still improve.
And
And
sort
you
of the
see when
big
kids.
picture of the sport in general, too, as like the themes that are happening.
Yes. And I'm always so thankful of all of the different areas I've been in, right? I mean, I was a coach's kid. Like I said, my mom's a judge, so she has a different perspective. I started coaching some classes and birthday parties when I was 14.
Same.
You know, I had the opportunity to do a small taste of college gymnastics. I coached. I was very lucky that very early on I got to coach fairly high levels. You know, I coached for 12 years, so I had some good experience with that. I feel like I can still put that coach hat on, and I like to think I did a good job of like being who I want to see coaches be, even then when I was really young coaching. But I think still I continue to progress in working with athletes. It's just like, how do you talk to them? How do you figure out how to do what's best for them? And it's just interesting because you hear there's people that are really good at that, and then you also see some people who have room to grow. And unfortunately, a lot of times the people that need to grow some don't either know they do or care to.
And I mean, I feel like the best way to do that is just to allow those cultures to go extinct by parents and kids making different choices. And I know not every town has five gyms. So, and not every town has multiple opportunities for high level athletes. But my hope is that parents and kids are going to go, you know what? This isn't feeding my soul. This person isn't evolving as an advocate for children and our sport. So let's see if there's a place where I can be more nurtured. And I'm
Yeah, it's so
hopeful that
interesting.
those gyms will, you know, not be able to pay the mortgage if everybody leaves. And then that's
I
going to make
agree.
some tricky choices in the ownership.
Very much. Well, I think the part that I find frustrating about it is still just some people have that thought process of like, well, this is just how gymnastics is. Like, I shouldn't go in. I shouldn't watch. I shouldn't go question the coach. They get mad. If I go bring this up, are they going to treat my kid different? Are they going to make fun of my kid? I mean, I have stories about that where kids will tell me, like, sometimes they don't like to tell their parents things because they remember, you know, a coach at their gym like making fun of a kid and be like, are you going to go tell your mom? Yeah, I said that. And I'm like, man, like, I don't know. Is that where you want your kid? Like, if I
That's
can't tell my
emotional
mom,
abuse.
yeah, if I can't tell my mom you said it, should you be saying it? I don't know. Like, if you wouldn't be proud of whatever you're doing at practice being shown publicly, then it's something that shouldn't be done at practice.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't agree more about that. Okay, let's chat injury because this is
Injury.
this is something that you are, you know, obviously passionate about. So I talk with kids and I always ask them, you know, okay, hey, we're riding high, we're feeling confident. What are some obstacles that might come up? And they're like, oh, I don't want to talk about obstacles. Ugh, don't jinx it. But I'm like, no. Talk about what could slow down your path. We set a goal. Here you are, point A. Here's point B. Here's where you want to go. What could get in your way? And almost always, one of those obstacles they bring up is injury. And so for each of those obstacles, I like to help them come up with, how do we prevent it? How do we work through it? How do we bounce back from it? So I would love to get your tips on just so the kids and their parents don't have to fear the injury process, but so you can sort of smooth the path of, you know, this gymnastics world that unfortunately involves injury.
Yeah, as does every sport, right? Like, anytime you're gonna be an athlete and you're gonna put your body through a lot, injuries are a piece of it. I think it's very rare to get through a high level, or not even a high level, but many years of sport with nothing ever hurting. So what were your steps? You said prevent.
Prevent, work through, and bounce back from.
Got it. So prevent, that's really, I do a ton of preventative work now. And that's something that I've been passionate about for a long time. I worked for a children's hospital system in their sports medicine department for 12 years before going out on my own. And so everything there was very reactionary. You know, you're hurt, the doctor sends you to therapy, you come to therapy, I help you. And I started to just feel like, man, there's so many things I see over and over in these gymnasts that I wish we could just make better before they're hurt. And so over time, I became a little bit more passionate about that. I, on my own, when I stopped coaching gymnastics, was competing in CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting, and really learned so much more about having to take care of my body. Because then as an adult athlete who was really lifting a lot of weights for the first time ever, I had plenty of old aches and pains come up. And so, you know, I really sought out like a lot of different experts. And I think through learning how to take care of my own body better, I realized there was such a better way. And so going out on my own, a big piece of what I wanted to do was, yes, I still help girls with injuries or athletes, because I don't only have gymnasts and I don't only have girls, but a lot of female gymnasts come here. So most people got to me through something hurting, but then they never really like leave, which I like because I have these, you know, sustained relationships I didn't really get to have in a clinic. But most of them feel great. Like they come in and they're just, I'm like, hey, how's everything feel? And they're like, I feel good. And I'm like, wow, this is like exactly what I want. Is if something doesn't feel good, we catch it early. We're able to get exercises for it. I'm able to help you work around it in the gym. And that's just such a better way than, wow, this has hurt for 8 months. I didn't know who to talk to about it. I didn't want to go to a doctor and tell me to rest. It's not bad enough to really stop. That's just a really unhealthy cycle. So, you know, how do we prevent it? Prevent by figuring out what on your individual body is lacking and work on improving that. Every body has different weaknesses, right? Some of us have a lot of mobility. Some of us don't have great core stability. Some of us don't have good flexibility, just all of these different things. And so how can I prevent it? One, I would say almost everyone should know on their own body what they're lacking. A second place of how to prevent it is gymnastics conditioning doesn't do a great job of working all the muscle groups. We're usually very overtrained in certain spots. And so I have a prehab program that's just a stock program anyone can do. And that's based on like, this is where I see kids that are hurt. A lot of them have weakness. So this is something that really we should just be adding into practice, or you can be adding in on your own if it's not getting added in at practice to help prevent that. So that's the prevention piece. There's just a lot of things we can be doing better to get our bodies better able to handle the stress of gymnastics.
That makes me think about, I think it was something you posted a while back that was something like, you know, 13 kids are doing this prehab program and all 13 made it through season without getting injured. And I was like, floored. Like, oh my
it
gosh.
That was last season. I had 23 kids that were coming for preventative services.
Yep.
And that was through meet season. I counted December through, you know, level 10 nationals. And that included a couple college athletes, and all of them were able to finish their season. I'm not saying they never had an ache or a pain, but they never had something that was limiting to their performance. Because sometimes you have an ache and a pain and you're not missing things, but you're not performing well either. I think I was really proud of that stat. I don't, you know, this year we're not at 100%. We're pretty high up there. They're still doing really good, but I've had a couple injuries that I really am like, about, just because it is frustrating, but also being realistic that you cannot prevent every single thing. But I think the part that I struggle with the most with prevention is I can only do this small piece of it. If you're training and the conditioning you do really overtrains a muscle, I can't necessarily completely fix that. If for a lot of kids, I feel like a lot of coaches give up on strength training, like as season progresses, we get really interested in just doing more and more gymnastics. But unfortunately, if you don't do strength training, your body is going to get weaker. And then suddenly it's the most important part of the year, state regionals, right where we're at right now. And are your legs strong enough to do good landings? Like, are you able to really maintain the hard landings and the numbers you're putting in with the gymnastics? Because I would say it's almost the opposite. We might need to like make sure our body's extra strong and resilient as we head into postseason. And I think that that's just a completely different train of thought than gymnastics has always been on.
Oh my gosh. I know, I didn't touch a weight. And I think it was the most innovative thing was like a PVC pipe full of sand that we did like some bars.
Yeah. And some like roll
drills
ups.
With. Exactly. And that was it. I mean, there were no kettlebells. There was, no resistance bands, no nothing. When I was a kid, it was like, you just pull-ups, pull-ups and V-ups, and then you're good.
Listen, when I started doing CrossFit, I'm like, okay, I want to compete in CrossFit. So I'm competing. I'm like 30. I start doing all this weightlifting and I get way stronger than I had ever been. I would go back into one of the gyms I had coached at previously, maybe like 2-3 times a year. I could do every single bar skill still in my 30s, not training. That was like my wake up moment of like, oh yeah, they should all be lifting weights. Like I have zero question that would have made me and every girl I ever coached better. And when I coached, we didn't do weightlifting at all. And that was like such a wake up call to me. So now I run a teen girl weightlifting class to help teach them about that stuff. And I get a lot of gymnasts, especially in the summer. And it's so fun to watch them get excited about, look, I could lift this. I could do this. I think it's just really getting excited about liking your strength in a different way.
Hey guys, quick announcement break. Right now, we at Complete Performance Coaching are looking for 5 athletes who are ready to break through their mental blocks for good. If that sounds like you or your child, then sign up for a free consultation call with one of my amazing coaches as soon as possible to see if you're a good fit for our Perform Happy Elite training program. This program includes one-on-one coaching with the world's top mental performance coaches, plus tons of support for athletes and their parents in between sessions. You can sign up today at completeperformancecoaching.com/consult. Talk to you soon. Okay, now I'm going to bring up the elephant in the room around strength training and gymnastics.
Yeah.
The myth of impacting flexibility. So if you get stronger, if your muscles get stronger, do you lose flexibility? Are there pros and cons to this type of approach?
Yeah. So we could go down a really deep flexibility rabbit hole. On the more I have worked with people, the more I think flexibility is actually just your brain's ability to let your muscle relax. So there's a neurological component to flexibility. And if a muscle does not feel strong or your brain does not feel like your body is safe going through a specific range of motion, it's not going to allow that muscle to do that. So, you can think about all those kids that are really tight. I was kind of a tight kid, to be fair. Like, is getting pushed down in splits and doing a ton of over splits, does it really make that kid more flexible? Typically, I would say not really. And so we took this muscle that was tight, that wouldn't allow the stretch to happen, and we made it hurt and we really forced it. Is that going to let it feel safer to relax more? And the answer is usually no. So I would say I can understand why people are worried about weightlifting and making gymnasts less flexible, but I would say that absolutely untrue unless they are literally only training one weightlifting movement pattern over and over and over, which they shouldn't be doing that either. So you want someone who's knowledgeable about weightlifting. You want someone who's knowledgeable about the body. Typically, you would want someone who's also knowledgeable about gymnastics, because then they can merge all of those things to put a program together that's best for you as a gymnast. So I would say emphatically, no, lifting weights does not make you less flexible.
Okay, boom, mic drop. Okay, so now let's go to those aches and pains. I always have my Tuesday night group in Perform Happy, and at the end there'll be like one or two lingering kids that wait to ask a question till the very end, and they're like, so my ankle hurts and I don't want to tell anybody, and I don't want to have to rest, and I have a meet, and I'm like, Okay, you have to tell somebody. You have to talk about it. You've got to get more information, at least about what's going on. So what, tell us about how kids should be managing those and when to speak up and what the parents can do. I mean, there's so much around managing. Is it an injury? Is it not? I think that's
Yeah.
like the thing that messes up more seasons than anything is like not telling anybody about it.
Yes. Yes. One, something hurts, tell someone. That's just a blanket. There's no question about that. Pain is simply your body's like alarm clock. Something is wrong. Pay attention to me. Doesn't mean a ton of damage, doesn't mean you're super injured, but it does mean something is happening. You need to pay attention to me. And so to ignore that, you're just asking for something worse to happen, whether it's to that body part or something else. So important to always speak up about it. I would say important then to try to figure it out. Like, you know, is it something that I've been injured in the past? Have I been doing my exercises for it? Because maybe I need to do that again. Did I have a fall and I didn't really think anything was wrong, but maybe something was wrong? You know, am I moving a certain way? I get kids all the time that are like, I just can't figure this out. And we like break down some of their videos. And I'm like, are you supposed to be arching in this part of a kip cast? Or let's look at your backhand spring on beam. Tell me what part of your body's moving the most. And they're like, my low back. And I'm like, yeah, like that's a technical issue. We can do all of the physical therapy exercises and get you as stable as possible. But if you don't change the technique of how you're doing something, you're still going to have pain. So something hurts, tell someone. Then I would say that's where having someone you trust that understands the sport to be able to talk to, hey, let's check this out. Is something tight? Is my, you use the ankle example. I get girls that come in with ankles, especially meet season, and their ankle, just their joint is not moving. And so if your ankle joint isn't moving, it's gonna hurt to land things because your joint has to be able to move. So the answer to that is, where are we at in season? What do we have coming up? Can we get the ankle joint moving? Do we need to rest it from landings a little bit? Which I'll be honest, that does not make coaches happy sometimes. It doesn't make gymnasts happy either. They don't want to stop doing stuff. But if you know, a couple scenarios I had earlier this year were some ankles that were really tight. Like if I don't have this amount of motion, I cannot land a skill. So I'm like, I just think you need to take a couple weeks off landings, but we have a meet in 2 weeks. Okay, let's risk versus reward. That's how I judge getting into competitions, whatever time of season. Okay, so is the risk of making your ankle hurt more and having it hurt all the way into March worth the reward of doing all around at an invitational in January? I can't answer that question. I can help you come up with an answer, but it's not for me to say what's most important. And so I think that's an important way to look at it. Just the whole like risk reward continuum of what are my end goals in gymnastics? What are my goals for this season? You know, is it worth hurting worse to maybe get this goal? And sometimes the answer is yes, but I would say a lot of times the answer is no.
Yeah, like I've heard Coach Briley, one of our coaches, she was competed for University of Michigan, and she's like, "Do I regret competing injured at NCAA Nationals? No, I don't." She's like, "I don't regret it, and I would probably do it again." But yeah, that January Invitational, and also you want to have more information, so at least you're having an educated conversation with this athlete where you're able to, from a place of education, go, "Here are the risks that I see. Let's talk about your rewards," and then you, the athlete, get the choice. That's
Yep,
so important.
a kid recently, you know, obviously we had state meet coming up, hurts her foot. Coaches are like, I think, you know, it's just bruised. Like, let's try to do everything. Goes and sees, you know, I will say there are amazing coaches around that recommend kids to me. And I'm so thankful to work with some really awesome coaches. There's also some coaches around who tell kids not to come to me, which is, it like hurts my feelings because I'm no, but I do a good job. But I think what it comes down to is I don't just let them do things. I won't ever tell kids, just let your coach decide. And I think sometimes some coaches don't like that. Like they would rather send them to someone who has no gymnastics knowledge and they're allowed to continue to make all the decisions that are gymnastics based. And I would never just tell a kid something just so a coach was happy with me and kept sending me people, because that also isn't worth it. That's not why I do this. And so, you know, a hurt foot, I'm like, okay, can you do this? She couldn't stomp. She couldn't go up on toe. And they're trying to get her to do all around, but she was going to try to do, alter some skills. And I was like, listen, I am not like a PT dictator. I will not tell you, you are not allowed to do this. But I just want you to think about this. If you can't even go up on your tiptoe, do you think you can run on a vault? Or do you think you can do this on beam? And like, you can see the kid kind of like, no. And I'm like, you have to be able to say that, right? And she was already nervous about being with me because she thought her coach was going to get mad. And I was just like, I can be the bad guy and write a note that says she's not allowed, but I don't like to practice that way because I do think you aren't old, but you do should have some ability to say, no, this is really important to me. I want to try. But when it comes down to it, if you're, 11, 12, 13, and your ultimate goal is college gymnastics, is whatever happens this season the most important thing to your career? Probably not.
Fun fact on the USAG Safe Sport red flags. One of them is of abuse is a coach requiring you to compete or train on an injury. So if that's happening, that's abuse, physical abuse. Just so that's out there. The coaches
Yeah.
who are not educated in that department actually cannot be making those decisions for you.
I think that, oh man, I think there's just such a, there is that thought process of you do gymnastics, things are going to hurt. You're right, things are going to hurt, but that doesn't mean everything should hurt, or it doesn't mean we're just expecting that, or it doesn't mean we should ignore it. There's different things. I have parents sometimes even argue with me about, like, I think it's ridiculous that Jenny says, pain isn't really normal for gymnasts. And I'm like, I mean, it isn't. Like, it's if you think, like, yeah, my back hurts, that happens all the time in here. They're coming to me for an ankle. I ask things, I'm like, well, does your back hurt? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that? And they're like, well, isn't that just normal? And I'm like, no, it's not normal for anyone's back to hurt. Is it mean you're terribly injured and can't do things? No, but that thought process of just like gymnastics is hard and you have to be tough and you're going to be in pain, so you might as well just suck it up and push through it. Like, that's just, it's a super old school mentality. It's unhealthy. I'd imagine there's a ton of super talented kids out there that left the sport because they weren't believed. And here's the deal, I'll say this too. If you don't believe your kid is hurt, like as a coach, then figure out why they don't want to do the thing. Like, why are they saying they're hurt when they aren't really? Like, there are so many aspects of that that it actually doesn't matter to me if you're really, yes, it matters to me if you're really hurt. But if you're saying my ankle really hurts to get out of vaulting, I'm not gonna like say, I think you're lying. I don't think it really hurts. I'm just gonna ask more questions about it. Like, maybe you're scared to vault. Maybe it does really hurt. Maybe something happened that I don't know about. Maybe you've had a really awful day and you're just like, there's just so many components that it's not fair to just assume someone's faking because you think they don't want to do something. And I feel like that happens kind of a lot too.
Absolutely. Yeah. The coach, a great coach, would be checking in with themselves and asking, why would this athlete feel the need to lie to me? If that's the case, either, okay, are they injured or are they afraid to tell me something? Which that's the coach's job to create a more open, safe structure for communication where kids can say, I got my period and I don't feel good. I just don't feel like I have it right now, coach, or I didn't get enough sleep because I was up late doing homework and I know I wasn't supposed to, and I don't want to get yelled at. My mom already yelled at me this morning and I just like, I don't want to get hurt because I don't have any energy today, or I didn't like my lunch, or, there's a thousand things that can make somebody feel afraid. Let's not let it be that conversation with the coach also is terrifying,
Which it's terrifying for a lot of kids. It's terrifying for parents. I mean, I'll have parents tell me that I've had parents, years ago even just, hey, can you help me write this email? I don't really know. I'm like, you're just telling them that your kid's hurt and you're not gonna go to practice, or you know what I mean? Whatever it is. And they're like, oh, well, I don't want them to get mad and take it out on my kid. And I'm like, if you feel that way, if you don't want to bring up an actual valid complaint that you're worried about your kid's wellness because you don't want the coach to treat your kid different, is that where you want your kid to be?
And that's another red flag on the emotional abuse list that
Yeah.
parents fear retaliation for communication.
Oh, and that happens all the time. Listen, I understand you do not want a parent calling you every single day. I am not saying that there are not over communicators occasionally or parents who are problem parents. There are problem parents out there, right? But you are not a problem parent for asking a question about where your kid is at some point in the season or wanting to have a conversation about, you know, asking if a coach asks your kid to do something when they're hurt and you don't address that, that's extra bad. Your kid doesn't think you have their back. They don't think it matters if the coach really believes them. I mean, it's just, that's a whole messy situation. So if, you know, I think I actually quoted a podcast a few weeks ago from you when you were interviewing Sam Oldham, and just about like, as a parent, if you have a question, you should ask it. Mm-hmm. And if the coach gets mad about that, you really have to reevaluate where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. And so, okay, what about the kids? So for the kids out there who are like, when is it bad enough to say something? What's your guideline here?
I would say, you know, if something hurts, I think it's always bad enough to say something. You don't have to say, you know, you can say, hey, my back hurts. I think I can do a few more, but I'm just letting you know, right? This is just knowledge. I'm letting you know my back's feeling a little bit sore. If coaches don't know that something hurts, they don't know to modify things. What if the whole team has back pain, but no one has said a word and the coaches need to be doing something different technically or changing conditioning? You can't really fault a coach if they don't know. So you should always be saying, it doesn't mean, just because you're saying something hurts doesn't mean you're asking for a different assignment. You're trying to get out of something. You're simply providing information. My back hurts a little bit today. I just wanted you to know. And then the coach could be like, great. Do you think you can do any more? Or do you need to be done? And then you can decide that as an athlete, but they shouldn't be like calculating what's my answer supposed to be. Like, if you need to be done, you can be done. Like without being mad, like it just, okay. Like, I don't want your back to hurt more. Maybe we should watch it the next couple practices. So the second something doesn't feel good, I think you should say something. I don't think that means you have to run to a doctor or, you know, I think if you have a relationship with someone like me, that's always great to bring it up. I get text messages or little emails from kids or parents like, hey, this happened. What do you think? And sometimes I'm just like, hey, try these things. I don't think it seems like a big deal. So that's always helpful to have another person to ask some of those questions too. Second, I would say now if you're doing it and every time it hurts, or it's starting to hurt when you're not doing gymnastics, like just in normal life, or when you're doing things, you start to feel like you can't do things normally. That's an immediate like, hey, this is getting pretty bad. I think I need to see someone, or I don't think I can do these for the week. Or because if you're not doing something normally, you're at a way higher risk of getting hurt in a different way, even maybe not even that body part. So that's when you need to take it a little bit more seriously. Probably see someone. I know that's not everyone's favorite answer all the time. But there's nothing ever wrong with going and getting things looked at, right?
Just more information. More information can be powerful. I'm always like, what did the doctor say? And they're like, oh, we didn't go to the doctor. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it could be good to get some more information.
Yeah. Well, I think I can understand where people get a little bit funky with it, because you have some doctors who don't understand the sport at all. They're extremely cautious. They put everyone in a boot and they tell everyone to rest for 6 to 12 weeks. And that's not appropriate either. But at the same time, then that's where you just ask more questions. Like, hey, like, what would be the risk of if we started stuff? Could we start PT now just to get a little stronger? Like, I think that's the other thing. You, as a parent and as an athlete, you can ask questions to anyone that you're kind of viewing as an authority figure. Ask me questions. I'll give you my answer. Ask a doctor. You're not saying my kid needs to do gymnastics. She can't rest. Like, probably don't say that, because then they're going to be like, you're cuckoo. But like, hey, a couple questions. Like, she has a really big meet in a couple weeks. It would really be great. What would happen if she trained? Like, those are fine questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't happy with the medical advice you're getting, it's never wrong to get another opinion. But I had a really smart doctor tell me once about my own issue. Just because you don't like what the doctor says doesn't mean it's not the right answer.
Mm. Yep. Yep. So, and get another opinion if you have any
doubt. Get another opinion. I
mean, yep. And if it's someone who just says, well, you shouldn't be doing gymnastics if it hurts like that. Well, okay. We're going to find someone else to talk to.
I have people reach out all the time from afar that I don't work with just to say, hey, I wanted to pick your brain about this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, it seems like that is an appropriate amount of rest, or, ooh, that seems a little bit aggressive. I might see someone else about it. And that's just my opinion. My opinion isn't always like the perfect opinion either. But I think I try, like I said, very hard to weigh risk versus reward, to understand the sport and what the sport requires. And sometimes you just, if you go to a doctor that doesn't understand the sport at all, or maybe the doctor you go to has had a really bad experience with gymnasts not listening, and then they come back worse and they're just always hurt. Like, I will say there are doctors who are very, very turned off with gymnastics, partly because things aren't managed appropriately. So then they feel like if I don't shut this person down, it's going to be so terribly mismanaged. This kid's going to be super hurt. So then they go ultra conservative because they don't feel like there's any real trust outside of what they can control. And so that's hard. I'm very lucky. I work with some great physicians that just give me free rein. Whenever you think they're ready to go back, whatever you think they're ready to do. And I'm always thankful for that. But I can understand how some people don't feel comfortable doing that, because whenever you say that to someone, you give a note that says, just do things that don't hurt, the kid will take it too far. The coach will take it too far. And then are you really getting better?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now the final aspect of this is bouncing back. So they're cleared to return. What are some of the most important things that kids can do, that parents can do to keep them, climbing that mountain again, getting back to strength, not having it, relapse as far as injury?
Yeah. So I would say, some of the things that are really important is a really great functional progression. So have I done things in therapy that emulate some of those positions? Not, did I just do a bunch of band work and then I went and tried to tumble? Like, you need to have been putting some weight through your wrists. You need to have been doing some jumping in the clinic or with your rehab provider before you would actually try to tumble. Can you jump off a box and land without pain? I also think a really great progression as far as how many new skills are you putting in at practice each time? I typically say 2 new skills a practice, keep numbers between that 5 to 10 area. If it hurts a little bit, sometimes that's just because you haven't done it, right? So, and everyone is different, but like sometimes I'm okay with 0 pain. There are some injuries that I'm like, yeah, I really don't want that to hurt at all. But then there are other injuries that I'm like, listen, your brain is probably just like, I do not know if it's okay that I'm doing this. And so it's just figuring things out. So, 2 new skills each practice, progress as long as you don't have a big spike in pain or you're not limping or anything like that. We shouldn't be taking medication to get through that, because then we don't know like what we're masking. And I like the 2 skills per practice, because let's say you go to practice and you had a sprained ankle and you do leaps and jumps, you tumble on floor, you do some vault drills, you do beam landings, and then it's blown up. We have no idea what did it. Was it just too much? Was it a specific skill? Did we even really work on the technique that we need to do things correctly? So breaking things down into small progressions allows us to know if it is a problem with a skill, like, am I doing this incorrectly? It allows us to gradually increase things and allows us to really focus on the technique and form, which a big reason we're hurt sometimes is just we're more interested in getting the job done than doing it perfect.
Yeah. Well, and that those baby steps are key to allowing confidence to rebuild too, because pain is such a big part of mental blocks popping up, or fears or hesitation. So if you're rushing your progressions physically and pain is happening and the brain is sensing pain, the brain is going to hesitate, and then you're, in this cycle. So you're so much better off. I always say slow and steady, slow and steady. You're better
slow and steady,
hanging on that low beam longer than you think, getting bored with it, keep that mat in place longer than you need it. Keep that hand, that coach's hand there longer than you need it, because that just allows you to feel ease with it.
Yeah. I tell people it'll feel really slow. You'll feel like everything is just super duper slow. And then one day you'll be like, I'm doing everything. And that's how it should be. We should never just feel like, you should never just feel like, oh my gosh, I went and did all, I have kids all the time. It'll be like, oh no, it felt good. So I kept doing more, but now my ankle's swollen. And I'm like, just, you got to trust it. You got to trust the process of getting back. You have to realize that like long-term health is normally the most important thing. I had a conversation with a kid the other day that we kind of talked about the hierarchy of goals, right? So her goals are, compete at hopes, so get her hopes qualifying score, make level 10 nationals, and have a body that feels good. Well, if a body that always feels good is always the least important goal, then it's never going to be a body that feels good. So you have to sometimes decide, like, where do I put these goals and how do they fit in? Because if a body that feels good is always going to do better gymnastics than a body that hurts. So if we can just take a step back and say, What do I need to do to get my body moving super well and feeling as good as possible this whole summer? Just think about how great your season could be next year when you're not continuing to take 3 weeks off here and 8 weeks in a boot and 4 more weeks in a cast because your wrist hurt. And then it's just cyclical. Sometimes kids are hurt like that because they don't return appropriately. But also, when they are hurt, are they doing too much stuff? Like, if I'm in a cast and I do so many things on my wrist that now my wrist hurts, what was that time in the cast for? Like, take that time to improve the things you need to improve. Don't overuse something. And you know what? Maybe use that time when you're injured to find something else you really enjoy or are gifted at. Like, don't just feel like you have to sit in the gym for 20 hours a week and feel bad that you can't fully practice. Like, spend more time with friends, learn to sew, draw, read a book. I don't know, do something, but find something else because you are way more than just a gymnast.
What an amazing place to end it. I could talk about this with you all day. Jenny,
Me too.
where's the best place for people to find you if they want some more support or if they want to be able to send you those DMs?
Yeah, probably Instagram. It's Built by Borda, Borda is my Instagram. Same thing, that's my website also if you wanted to find that out. But yeah, I have remote clients, I have some stock programs, I have lots of different options to help people that maybe aren't needing in-person care or they're not local. But I love it if you check out the Instagram and find something that helps you.
Amazing. So check that out. We'll also put those links in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here today. This has been
Thank
awesome.
you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.